Good morning. I'm Coach Jake, and we call all the pastors here at Maywood coaches because we believe that God's called us to be a team. And he's gifted folks like Bryce to do things with the youth and video that I could not do and that many of us couldn't do. And it's only when we're all using our gifts as a team that we're going to be who Jesus wants us to be today. And today I'm excited to be here for the message. I really think God planned this particular message way before I did for us this Sunday. And before we get into it, you know, in worship and what Daniel was just praying there, it was about who we serve, who we worship. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, this idea of God is the one we serve and put all of our attention to. So then what is this book that I've got right here? How do we relate to it? How do we respond to it? And that's what we're going to be digging into in kind of almost a strange way today, but I think it's the right Sunday to hit the verse that we're going to get to today. So before we get there, and before, I want to lead us in another prayer, but I want to bring this particular verse to your mind because it's where Paul describes what this book is that I'm holding. And he says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and training in righteousness. So this idea that God's inspired this book, and it has a purpose. And it's not, we don't worship the Bible, we worship Jesus, but the purpose of the Bible is to point us there, right? To teach us, to encourage us, to rebuke us, even. And a lot of passages we come to and we understand right away, oh yeah, that has something for me to change. The passage we're going to read today, I'm asking for us to step out in faith that Jesus really has something to teach us, in a passage that most people ignore. So before we get into it, let's pray again. Jesus, I lift up every one of us that are in the room today, that you would be with us today and teach us. Jesus, I lift up all of our brothers and sisters, Lord, who are watching online or having their own church service this morning in Independence and other places. Jesus, be with everybody who is gathered in your name today. Pray you would teach us all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, if you want to turn there in your own Bible. And this is the last three verses of this book we've been in for a long time. So we've been going through verse by verse. And normally if you read these letters in the New Testament, people will get to the very end and they kind of skip it. You know, it'll be this little heading that says like personal remarks or something. People kind of breeze through it, or maybe they don't even read it. And most of us don't look at it and think, oh, this has a message for me. But tasked as preaching through 1 Peter, I realized I got to find something in these verses to talk to Maywood about. But as I was praying this week about it, I did land on like, there's a lot that God could teach us through this. If we'll come with that faith that all scripture has inspiration, and that God is willing to teach us through it. So we're going to read these verses and really hone in on verse 14, okay? So verse 12 says, Peter here writing, he says, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I've written to you briefly. And here's going to tell what the book was about. He says, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God, stand fast in it. Only thing I want to point out specifically from this verse, though, is this idea that Silas has probably had written the book for Peter, so Peter could have written it himself, but he's probably writing this little section himself. But Peter describes Silas as this brother that's helping him in what he's doing, because we'll come back around to that later. Verse 13, it says, she who is in Babylon, which this is a fancy way of probably saying the church in Rome. So he's writing to all these scattered Christians, but he's also saying this church in Rome, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings. And then here he says, and so does my son, Mark. So he describes Silas as a brother, and he describes Mark as a son. These guys aren't biologically connected to Peter, but he's very close to each of them. Then here's verse 14, which I have 15 there. I'm sorry for that. But it says, greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. And when I read this verse, some of you are worried if you've been at Maywood before. You're like, Jake likes to get really practical. I can set your minds at ease. Like, we're not going to stand up at the end of service and kiss each other. Like, It's not going to happen, okay? But I did want us to focus in on that sentence at the top of the page there. Greet one another with a kiss of love. It'd be hard for us to find a scripture that we don't want to apply more, you know, today, right? Sometimes we read the Bible, and anytime, actually around any teacher or spiritual teacher, they have this struggle of there's these principles that are true, but how it looks in your life today, it gets into a lot of specifics that are hard to figure out. And if you blow those out of proportion, if you blow the specifics out of proportion, you can get into a lot of problems. And so Jesus, a lot of his teaching was people had blown the specifics of Moses' teachings and other people. They'd blown the specifics out of proportion, and they'd lost the principle. And sometimes we read something like this, like, oh, isn't that quaint that they used to kiss each other at church? And we just, like, move on. But the reality is there's a principle that Peter's talking about here that could teach us and even rebuke us from how we act in our culture today. Okay, so even though I'm going to say we shouldn't kiss each other today, you know, and I don't actually say that super lightly. When you're reading something in the Bible and it gives a very specific command, your first thought should be, how do I do this? You should be very hesitant to say, like, well, I'm not going to specifically do that. That should be with a lot of humility. But when you look through all of church history, you can see, like, and just imagine here in our room, if we had everybody kissing each other every time they saw each other at church, that would be kind of crazy, right? Like, we can already imagine a lot of issues. I can just imagine how busy I would be with all the drama that would instantly start if we started doing that. And really, throughout church history, they did not do this practice for very long, it looks like, when you look into the history of it. It became kind of traditional during Lord's Supper, and then even by the 13th century, sounds like it just was faded out for the most part altogether. Greet one another with a kiss of love. So obviously, even more so today, you know, we've got everyone's very concerned about the coronavirus. And so there's this practical sense of, yeah, kissing each other is, even today we're, you know, doing these elbow bumps and stuff, you know, where there's a fear about handshaking even. What's the principle then? Well, when you try to start looking at what's the principle, you see, like, okay, churches through history, they stopped kissing, but what's the principle that we could see here? And I want to tell you a little bit about an encounters that I had down in Mexico, the different culture, because I think they're closer to the principle that Peter's getting at. So this is a picture that I took of a kitchen of a recovery house that I got to partner with when I was living down in Mexico. And so here's some of the guys eating in their recovery house down there. And I hear a lot of complaints about the different recovery houses here in towns, just because that's a thing people do, you know, people talk about whatever recovery house they're in, and they'll say, oh, it's too crowded or too this and that. So I got to help build some of the bunks for this recovery house, and I can tell you, like, people have it better off if it's at recovery houses. I didn't build your bunks if you're sleeping at one of these recovery houses, and that's probably for the best, to be honest. And had folks really tightly packed, and the heat was like, you know, it was like 110 with no air conditioning, and then these little tiny bunks that we built. Anyways. So that was recovery house stuff down there. But if I walked into that room right now, that's Chewy on the right, and Pepe's right behind him. What would happen is, if I went in and shook Chewy's hand, then Pepe would stand up, and I would shake his hand. And then it would set off this chain around the whole room. Every single person would shake my hand before we were done. And it's not that I'm, like, special. Like, if Nick walked in the room, every single person would shake his hand, and then we would stop. And then if Jason walked in the room, every single person, then Linda after him, every single person, including me now, like, would stand up and shake their hand. And as an American, sometimes you don't realize how our culture works until you get out of it. But we, even if you're always late, like, I used to think, like, I was late to stuff, like, before I lived in Mexico. Like, people show up way later, and then everybody that's showing up gets greeted. So it turns into, like, okay, we were supposed to start 20 minutes ago, but now somebody else came in, and now we're going to all stop, and everyone around the room is going to shake their hand. And this will go up to groups of, like, 20 people. They'll still be shaking everybody's hand, like, when it comes in. And it's considered very rude not to, like, stop everything and shake that person's hand. It took a lot of getting used to for me. And at first I just thought, like, well, this is a strange thing, it's inefficient, but like we just do it because that's how everybody does it here. But you get around it for a while, and even when I got back to the States, I did some awkward stuff on accident. In the States, sometimes I would go around and start shaking everyone's hand in a room and realize, like, that's, everyone's like, what? Like, we're already talking. Like, you showed up late and now you shook everybody's hand. That's weird. But what I started to notice about it, my frustrations were kind of a window into me. And if you're the type of person who gets frustrated some, like, pay attention to the stuff you get frustrated about, because it will teach you some stuff about what's going inside of you. So I would get frustrated because I'd have some meeting agenda or some, like, let's get this thing done, or even just it's Spanish and I understand what's happening right now, and we broke the flow of this handshaking thing, and I'm frustrated even by that. But it basically boiled down to, like, I have something going on right now. I don't want to stop to recognize this person. I don't think they're that important that we need to stop for 30 seconds and greet them. And at the end, like, when you really dig into that, you're like, that's a really, like, self-centered, like, jerk-sounding thing, like, from inside of you, right? If you look at a lot of times when you're frustrated, that's what you'll find inside. It's like somewhere deep underneath all the excuses and, like, pretty paint is like a jerk. You know, that's what I found inside of myself, typically. Anyway, so what I also noticed, though, is if you enter a room and every single person stops what they're doing to shake your hand, it's hard to not feel like you matter. There's a lot of people in the room here today, and there's this question inside, deep inside, about do I matter to anybody else? And it would do us all good to have a room full of people say, like, hey, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and notice you. We're all going to stop what we're doing and notice you. So, okay, you hear all this stuff. Like, what does that actually mean for you today? Because even, like I said, today we're trying to not even shake hands and we're getting, you know, trying to keep distance and all this different stuff. So here's the key principle, I think, from this idea of greet one another with a kiss. Peter, in those three verses, he describes, hey, I've got this other guy who's not just somebody who's helping me, they're my brother. I've got this guy, not just somebody I'm teaching, he's like my son. Peter had these very strong relationships. And a lot of us, we want to have somebody there for us when we need them. We want to have a brother. We want to have somebody that we really can pour into like a kid. We want to have somebody that's pouring into us like a dad. Peter is laying out one piece of the principle here that I think is very true. If you want to have good relationships, do something to stop and notice people when they enter the room. I mean, this is super small. This sounds like, really, Jake? Like, we're open today, and we're having church today, and this is the message, is like how to greet people. But if we want to have real relationships, the way you treat people when they first enter the room, the attention you give them, it's going to change them, and it's going to change you. If you start saying, when someone enters the room, I'm going to not just keep doing what I'm doing, or not just say, like, hey, what's up, and then keep doing what I'm doing. I'm going to stop, I'm going to look at them in the eye, and I'm going to somehow give them value. It will change you, because it will be this constant humbling experience of what I'm doing is not more important than the other people in the room. Most of us don't live that way. The stuff that we're scrolling about matters more than the other people in the room. The dishes that we are doing matter more than our spouse who just walked in the room. Like, whatever's happening, it's like we're focused in on us. And if you could just break into the habit of, when someone enters the room, I'm going to focus on them for 3 seconds. If you could just do that, it would change your inside condition. And if you started being the type of person who greets people like that, it's going to start changing the inside condition of people around you. So this sounds really, really small, but small things that you do with every single time you see your wife small things you do every single time you see your son, small things you do every single time you see your boss, small things you do every single time a new person comes into their meeting, small things you do over and over and over, like they build really big. If you look at your life and think like, I wish I had some real brothers that were there for me when I needed them, or I wish I really had somebody pouring into me, I wish I had some more family, take a page from Peter and start really paying attention to people when they enter a room. I mean, it's just that simple. Just when they enter the room, give them a few seconds. Right now, okay, probably don't want to kiss them. Maybe you don't even want to shake their hand. What if you just made eye contact with them? You know, if I look at Darren, say, hey, Darren, how are you doing? That is very different than, hey, what's up? And then keep doing what I'm doing. Really, really different, right? Took like 3 seconds to do that. Imagine if you made it a goal of everybody you see this week, you're going to try to give attention to. Just when they enter the room, let that be your trigger. If you're in a room of more than 25 or something, I'll let you off the hook. Just they don't do that in Mexico either. You know, like, but if you're in a room with less than 20 people, what if you gave every single person your attention when they came in the room? It would change you for sure. It would open you up to that person, right? So, real quick, just because I'm a practical person and we've got the time, not just the eye contact thing. Shaking people's hands is actually really powerful. Maybe for the next few weeks, don't do it, I guess, but like, it actually helps. Standing up when somebody enters, walking across the room, shaking their hand, like that sort of stuff matters to people. But right now, in this climate we're in right now, people are worried about physical touch. So I remember when I was a teenager, I was around a couple different groups of about 40 guys, and I got into this habit of like screaming people's names when they'd enter the room, like, hey, Brian, or whatever. Like, and people loved it. And it made like a, I mean, maybe this is more like teenage boys sort of dynamic, but like it knit like a kind of community together. And like one of the secret sauce tips was like I just would yell people's names in a happy way when they entered, like kind of obnoxiously loud. Now, I don't know that we should do that in the hallways at Maywood or not. I don't know. Find whatever works for you. But the secret, I think, after thinking about this passage a lot, is like that when someone enters the room, you actually greet them. You actually put your full focus on. You can't really kiss somebody without putting your focus on them, you know, without moving. And that's the principle here, I think. The principle is like do something when people greet. Show people value every single time you see them. It'll change the community that you have. It's really small steps, but we're on this journey with Jesus to become like Jesus, and we got to be humble enough to say, like, this is my step for right now. We're trying to be obedient, and this is our step. So last thing we're going to do today, or I guess two things. One is kind of an announcement. We've got the offering plates just down here. On your way out today, if you have an offering that you want to give to support what's happening here at Maywood, you can just put it in the plate as you're going out. And so I'm going to ask just a couple of guys. We got Brian and Josh right there if you guys are up for it. If you guys would come down front and help Linda. Linda's our treasurer. When at the end of service. Sorry, hang on. But you guys will just help Linda because people will give the offerings as they go out. So that is one announcement. The other announcement, we're doing our best to keep up with everything that's changing. I mean, there's like executive orders happening all the time and lots of stuff. Please just stay up to date with us, and we're going to do the best we can to be wise through this whole thing. But I really appreciate your prayers. You know, decisions have to be made, and we just need God's help, like, to make the right calls along the way. So please be patient, and please keep checking stuff on, like, our website or Facebook. We send out the mass emails and stuff like that. So final step we're going to do, our response time, instead of having people pray down front, instead of having the worship team sing, I'm going to guide you in the response time. So this is a little like, it's kind of like when you're driving a car at first and your mom is sitting in the seat next to you, like, telling you what to do. I kind of get to be that like mom role right now. So sorry, you know, it's not the most fun for me. But what we're going to do, you're going to pray, but I'm going to try to like help you focus as you pray. How do we really respond to this, okay? So let's all bow our heads. Jesus, show me the way I have been greeting people or treating people when they first come into the room. Jesus, I see I've been too focused on myself. Please forgive me. Jesus, show me the opportunities, the people I'm going to have opportunities with later today. Jesus, show me how you want to greet people, how you want me to greet people right after church. Jesus, show me how you want me to greet people as soon as I get wherever I'm going after church. Jesus, show me how you want me to greet people when I show up to work or wherever I'm going tomorrow. Jesus, I know that I struggle to remember things. So Jesus, please help me to remember what you want me to do today and tomorrow and each day. Jesus, I want to be obedient. I want to greet people well, but I need your help to actually love people. Jesus, please show me the way and please make me like you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Last thing to close out with before we do a final benediction is one of the reasons we want to have church at Maywood as long as we're allowed to have church at Maywood is people come here pretty often and they're like, I need a whole new life. And if you're here today and you're like, Jake, that I haven't gotten it yet. I need more than what has happened so far. Come and talk to somebody before you leave. People get new lives here, not because we're special, but because Jesus will give a new life to anybody who says, here's everything I have. It's not very pretty, but here it all is. If you will do that with Jesus, Jesus will give you a brand new life. So this verse that we read, it ended, the whole book of 1 Peter ends with what I would call a benediction, like a short blessing. So if you guys want to bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm going to pray this over you. Peace to all of you who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.